Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God.
Here's something that's almost old news now, fake news. We're hearing a ton of discussion in our time about the rise of so-called fake news, news, in other words, that really isn't reporting anything factual, but is designed to drive clicks and catch people's attention and, in many cases, advance some kind of agenda, either a conservative agenda, as we're hearing today, or a leftist one. Fake news is a scourge, according to what we hear today. Fake news is causing many people not to trust sources, not to trust authorities, and thus it's causing much confusion. And it's, in fact, helping to undermine real political discourse in the public square. Not long ago, Hillary Clinton decried the spread of fake news following her loss in the 2016 presidential election to Donald Trump, citing fake news as one reason, effectively, why she lost the race. Now, there's much for us to think about in terms of fake news as believers. We want to say, first and foremost, that we oppose falsehood as Christians wherever it is found. We are not a culture as a church that supports lies and spreading falsehoods. We love the truth. We recognize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And so we have a predisposition to trust and love and promote the truth that is in Christ, but also the truth wherever it may be found, because all truth is ultimately God's truth. In other words, there's not some truths that God owns that he has the copyright on because he's divine, and then other truths that secularism has the copyright on. No, because God is the creator of this world, because God is himself comprehensively true, anywhere you find something that is right and reasonable and should be believed, that is something that God owns. This is what Christians have historically confessed. The Reformed tradition in particular has emphasized in terms of promoting what is called the Christian worldview, though of course many Christians own the Christian worldview who would not claim a tie to the Reformation. We have to recognize as well that postmodernism has had a major effect on our world. So I said a minute ago that Christians oppose falsehood, the church opposes untruths, but we're in a world of lies. We're not in a world that loves the truth. We are predisposed as a result of the fall, the real historical fall of Adam, to cling to falsehood and to promote it and to distrust authority and to hate authority even, to be very skeptical and cynical about all things in this world. And we recognize that the intellectual movement of the last 30 to 50 years known as postmodernism has had a real effect on people. In other words, postmodernism argues that there is no meta-truth, comprehensive truth for all people, contra what I was saying a few minutes ago, contra what I myself believe in the church beliefs. And postmodernism has convinced many people to be skeptical to all narratives. Credulity, one philosopher has said, toward all meta-narratives is the hallmark of a kind of postmodern perspective. So in other words, you don't believe in an overarching system of the truth. You believe that every system of thought is fundamentally, in some senses, a power game, a power play. And what the public square and intellectual life really is about is one group claiming domination over all other groups by whatever means they can find it, including promoting a meta-narrative, an overarching system of truth. Because of philosophical postmodernism that has been taught in high school classrooms and certainly many college and university classrooms, many young people in particular do not believe that there is one way of seeing the world rightly. So in other words, Christians believe in a kind of bird's eye perspective on the world. In other words, that if we can see the world as God sees it, namely through the teaching of his word, we will, in fact, though we are not ourselves perfect, understand what is right and wrong, what is true and what is false. But this is not the way that many people around us think. Our late modern culture has a very, very uneasy relationship with truth. And thus, with reporting, with journalism, with facts. We have become accustomed to hearing about how everyone has a perspective. Perspectivalism has become very famous in terms of our approach to the news. And we've got to recognize that, yes, everybody does have a perspective on what takes place in this world. But you cannot overdo perspectivalism. If you do, if you so play into the view that there is no meta-truth, but there's only different takes on the truth, you will not have any coherent way of understanding the world. And in point of fact, this is how many people live and think today. They think that everybody has a perspective, but that there is not one actual event that for sure factually happened. We've got a lot to deal with as believers, as the church, when it comes to fake news. There's so much to talk about here, but I want to say this as well. The original fake news is abortion. What do I mean by that? Well, we have had abortion treated in terms of a major disagreement in American cultural life. There are pro-life people on one side who don't support abortion, and there are pro-choice people on the other side who do support abortion, who support a woman's right to choose. You think about how this issue has been framed, and you recognize that for the generation that has grown up in a post-Roe v. Wade, post-1973 context, you now have people who have heard that the killing of a baby in the womb is a matter of perspective, and there are two equally valid sides that have a perspective on abortion. You recognize what abortion, among other issues we can name, but what abortion has done to color the world. This is, in other words, a case of branding and a case of presenting a cold, hard, evil reality, the killing of the unborn, as something that is a mere social or cultural question. In other words, which position do you choose? We have been accustomed to approach abortion as if it is a ballot initiative related to recycling. Which side are you on? Do you want county trucks to collect on Wednesdays, or do you want them to collect on Thursdays? We've been trained to think of abortion in those kind of terms. And I think the rise of abortion culture, the culture of death, has had a massive effect on particularly young people who are, interestingly, when polled, generally pro-life on the abortion issue. In other words, they have rejected the prevailing narrative about abortion. They understand that this is not something that can be explained away euphemistically. This is simply a woman, you know, taking power over her body. Young people in and outside of the church both understand that abortion is murder. It is wrong. And so when you recognize what a society does in embracing something like abortion and labeling it virtuous, even something that is good, a positive good for society, you have to understand that that is going to profoundly lead young people to view their culture and society as hypocritical, as not trustworthy. There are, of course, real instances of fake events being reported as real, and we should not support and seek to promote those kind of instances in our world. But we have to recognize that we are in a culture that has itself allowed the rise of different ideologies to be presented as something that is positive, when in truth we are embracing that which is profoundly evil as a culture. You know, Christians have something better to offer the world than fake news and than hypocrisy and euphemisms, covering up terrible realities with language that sounds appealing. Christians have something better to offer than lies. We have good news. Think about that term. The gospel is called throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, good news. It is news. It's a declaration. It's an announcement that Jesus Christ has laid down his life for sinners and has risen from the grave to give us victory over death, over Satan, over hell, over the fate that we surely deserve. So Christians have to remember this in our polarized society today. We have something better to offer the world than fake news. We have something better than paranoia. We have something better than barbs and throwing jabs at the other side. We engage the battle over ideas. We engage the public square, but we do so always remembering that we have the best news to offer fallen sinners just like us. Now that is something worth sharing and promoting.
Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast at the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.